Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for more propaganda? Well, you're in the wrong place at the right time. Columbo Chronicles is for critical thinkers. Let's welcome the consumer advocate for justice. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo.
Hi, everyone. It's the Rose, Rose Columbo, right here for you every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. And we start with authors and experts, and then we enter into part two with the Justice Club and talk about the real issues of the day. We have a returning guest today. She is a dynamic author, and she's going to tell us her true story and a book that she wrote, and you won't want to miss it because it is of human interest, and it's about child abuse, mental illness, and forgiveness. It will touch your heart, your mind, and your soul. And it is entitled, I'm Hopeless, I'm Crazy, by Linda Rae Anderson. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Linda and her book when we come back in just a moment. So don't touch that dial, because we will be back in just a moment.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
And guess what, everyone? I have a great new book that's just come out hot off the press in April or May of 2022. It is available on Amazon, and it does discuss the issues of today, which is, will humanity survive?
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Hi, everyone. We're back on Columbo Chronicles Live, and we will be entering into the world of authors and experts. And on part two, we will enter into the Justice Club with a very special returning guest, Bill Byes. And I'll tell you a little more about Bill in the second part of Columbo Chronicles Live. Right now, let's go ahead and enter into the world of authors and experts with a very dynamic guest and author. And she is Linda Rae Anderson, who wrote the book, I'm Hopeless, I'm Crazy. And it's about her mother's battle with mental illness. Let me tell you a little bit about Linda Rae Anderson. She studied and practiced in the field of natural medicine for over 40 years. She has worked as a general practitioner in clinical practice for 26 years, providing care in the field of acupuncture, oriental medicine, and other modalities of natural medicine. As a private consultant, she facilitates wellness groups at a substance abuse residential rehab recovery facility. Through clinical experience, her book, and work as a private consultant, she is now specializing in the field of mental health. In addition to her clinical practice and private consulting, Linda offers the NADA, National Acupuncture Detoxification Association, protocol. a 5-needle ear acupuncture therapy in a group setting for the treatment of substance abuse, stress, anxiety, depression, insomnia, PTSD, cravings, trauma, and pain. Through these services, her book, and public speaking, she aspires to reach more people with safe, effective, economical health care and be part of the solution to bring forth mental-emotional balance globally. So let's welcome our very dynamic guest, Linda Rae, and Rae is spelled R-A-E, Anderson. And let's just say hello to her and welcome her back to Colombo Chronicles. Hi, Linda. So happy to have you today.
Hello, Rose. Thank you and for having me back. I really appreciate that.
Well, I'm very happy to have you back because it's been quite a while after everything changed in America and that we were able to speak to you about all these wonderful natural health treatments that you provide and experience and consultations. And I'm super happy to have you because you're talking about a honest, truthful, human interest story that you wrote in a book called I'm Hopeless, I'm Crazy, and people really should read because so many people and children are suffering under those conditions and don't know what to do about it. So, Linda, why don't you tell us what is I'm Hopeless and I'm Crazy all about?
Well, the book is about, it's a personal narrative based on my mother's psychiatric diagnosis, which was schizophrenia, and she had been diagnosed for 35 years. She had gone through all conventional treatments, and I became first aware of it probably as a very young child. I remember my mother going away for about 3 months. I didn't know what it was all about, but we lived with another family, myself and my 3 siblings. And then all of a sudden we went back home and she seemed to be okay. And we went on for a time. And then when I was 11 years old, the same thing occurred. My father said that my mother was going to a hospital. We weren't really told the particulars about the situation. And I soon found out that she had self-committed herself to Patton State Hospital, state institution here in California. And at that point in time, that was the last time I had my mother. My mother was institutionalized for 5 years. And by the time she got out, I was 16 years old. And she could only take one child. So she took my youngest sister. And I kind of got caught in the middle because I was 16. My older brother was old enough to be on his own. My older sister had already been married. And I was kind of left with a very neglectful, abusive father. And that's when I had a lot of my personal trauma, and I turned to alcohol, and I always wanted to go into medicine, but my dreams were quickly devastated when all this occurred in my life, and so I kind of fell into a trap myself with having mental issues also, and I stumbled along and did the best I could. I got married and had a child, and that was not a happy life for me. I finally started to look at what I could do for myself because the life that I had been living, my lifestyle was not supportive. And
let me ask you this. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Linda. When you're talking about your mother's mental illness, when she was at home, did you notice anything as a child that was unusual to you or any kind of treatment or any behaviors that she exuded?
She was just a very quiet woman. And in those days, this between the 50s and the 70s, and children pretty were left to not really speak out, nor were they told much in those days. Everything was pretty secretive, and she functioned, but I always felt that she was very timid and had no confidence. And like I said, I was just trying to, you know, be a child, and she provided. She, you know, everything seemed to be, from what I felt at the time, pretty normal. But it apparently she had, you know, some real issues, and like I said, periodically she would have to, you know, be institutionalized, and at that point she was, you know, given.
Was your was your father abusive to her?
My father was pretty non-existent. He went to work and he came home and he was no emotional support or not very much financial support to her either. She was always worried about how she was going to take care of us and pay for things. And that's, like I said, that's all I can remember being a little child and just trying to, you know, try to be normal in my own world.
Yeah, I was asking because I read that you said, this story reveals my sheer determination to heal my mother's illness. I think it's important to tell because if my mother could get well in the state that she was in, then anyone can. And so that's why I was asking that question, and what traits she showed towards you and your siblings caused you to write that particular statement.
Why I wrote that statement is because years down the road, when I was 27 and my mother was 60, when she got out of the institution, when I was 16 years old, she was in her 50s at that point, and my father wanted to divorce her, and it was a state law that he could not as long as she was institutionalized. So as soon as she was able to get out through the support of her sisters, he quickly divorced her, and she was able to stabilize 10 years. And with her sister's help, she went back to school, and she was able to get a job as a dictaphone typist for the probation department. So she worked for the city of Los Angeles, and then she moved to San Diego for 10 years. And then at the point of retirement, I never felt that she was strong within herself. That's the thing that always, from a very young child, I sensed about my mother. She just never was decisive, could make decisions, had confidence. And I think that was part of the illness. And at that point when she was retiring, when she came to me and divulged that she was already seeing a psychiatrist, she was already on medication, and the medication was not working for her. So that's when I got involved at 27 years old, because at that point, the doctor, psychiatrist, wanted to give her electroshock therapy, and I knew that at that point in time, at 60 years old, that I and also my brother and sisters were concerned that she may lose her memory, because when we would visit her in the institution, that was a therapy they were using for her. She had several courses of ECT, and when we would see her, we would look through the fence, and she wouldn't even know who we were. It was the most, I still can see her face in my mind. She would come to us, and she would just be blank. And so we were afraid that at that point in her life, to try ECT again would not be a good idea. So then the psychiatrist developed a different protocol for her, which was a 3-week protocol of 3 drugs in concentrated form through an injection. It was a cocktail of Prolixin, Valium, and Thorazine. And
wow.
She was in a hospital setting, and she became the worst person in there. She had to be moved to a long-term facility because she wasn't improving. And then she got to the point where she, I've never seen anything. She was like from a horror movie.
Yeah, I worked for the chief of psychiatry in the crisis clinic when I was young. And I saw a lot with Thorazine and these dangerous drugs, in my opinion, and people who were, and that was a lot that he gave her that cocktail, put into that cocktail, in my opinion, and a lot of serious drugs there. And these people ended up to be like zombies, and they walked like zombies, and they just, it was really shocking to me to see people who were drugged up like that, behaving as zombies with no control over their own minds, basically.
Yes, and when I would visit her at the long-term facility, she was crawling. She got to the point where she was on the floor crawling. She had taken all of her clothes off. She was rummaging through everybody else's rooms and drawers, and she would crawl into the line to get her meds. And I mean, I personally spoke with the psychiatrist who came in on one visit, and I told him, I go, look at her, she's dying. And he took her blood pressure, and he, you know, and the very next morning after that occurred, I was given a call from the original hospital that she started the treatment at, and they basically told me that she was back in their care. She was in ICU. She had been brought up back in an ambulance because she had gone into a catatonic state as a result of the medication. So at that point,
no doubt.
I didn't think she was going to make it. She did make it. And when she started to come out of that, I had to do something. I just felt I knew that if I left her under the care of the psychiatrist, I would lose my mother, and I couldn't bear that. And so it was almost like a compulsion within me that I couldn't stop. And I decided that I was going to do whatever I could do, which meant that I had to go to court and become my mother's legal guardian. And we switched roles, and that's an interesting twist in the story too. But we switched roles, and then at that point, I was able to get her released from the psychiatrist because he didn't want to let go. He wanted to assist. I had a new psychiatrist that was advanced in the studies of nutrition and doing in-depth lab studies. They called them at that time orthomolecular psychiatrists, and so I had to release him, and then we started a whole different avenue of treatment. And that's
really interesting because I used to ask doctors. I was in beauty industry as a licensed esthetician, beauty professional, went through the advanced skin care treatments and aromatherapy, all of that, reflexology certifications, and on my own spa and beauty skincare line. And I would go to doctors and I would, you know, either it's a foot doctor or plastic surgeons. And I would talk to them about skincare and natural ingredients and which were my, you know, included as many natural as possible. And they looked at me like I was from outer space at the time because they're like, well, I asked them about supplements, and they're like, well, we don't really study, you know, natural cures or supplements or vitamins or, but I guess, you know, okay. And we don't have anything against skincare. And I go, well, don't you think that people need to keep their skin and body after all the work you do on them soft and moist and plump and da 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 da? But they really were only into medicine, prescriptions,
yeah,
and surgeries,
yeah,
and that was it, you know. And then the explosion came, and right before the new millennium, where suddenly all these doctors were putting their names on skincare products and got into the skincare business and took away from the layperson, such as myself, and because they had the name MD next to it or doctor. And it was amazing to me how they transformed into becoming businessmen in the skincare industry. And even into natural supplements, as we see today online consistently. But the bottom line is that those you did the right thing, because when my father, when I got involved with my dad, they were giving him like 30 different pills, and he looked like he was about a zombie. And I, oh my God, they're killing him. So I did the same thing. I grabbed all his pills. I went to each of the three doctors, and I said, here. I said, you three are not consulting with each other. He's got 30 to a zombie from a healthy guy. And I said, and you three need to consult and figure out what's going on here, because he's getting worse than better. And I took control, and it was down to like just a few pills, and a few of them were, I think, 9, and some of them were vitamins. So if you did the right thing, because I saved my dad's life, I believe,
yes,
by stepping in. And I called my sister, said, you got to get out here. I said, because dad looks like he's on his last leg. And so she flew out here, and that's what we did, took control. And God bless you, you did the right thing. But I did want to ask you about your dad. What were you talking about that he abused you? What was specifically did he do to you or your siblings that you had more problems than just your mom to deal with?
Well, he was extremely neglectful. As soon as my mother went into the hospital for that 5-year sojourn, he basically never came home. He came home maybe once a week and gave my brother a dollar and said to go buy groceries. We were completely supervised. They were always threatening to turn our utilities off. Eventually, the house got foreclosed upon. I got smacked in the face. So I was distraught. I had to fight for myself against him. I was not so nice to him, and he had me picked up by the police and taken to juvenile hall for being incorrigible. And then when I went to the court about 4 days later, the judge looked at him, and they had evidence then, because in those days people didn't talk. There was no child protection agency or anything. And so they did, you know, survey the neighborhood and get some information, and the judge looked at my father, and he says, you are the only Jewish father I've ever come across that neglected their children and abused their children like this. Your daughter's not going home with you. So at that point, I went into a detention facility for 4.5 months. So anyway, I got way behind in school and everything, but I had to come out of my own problems, and that's what got me into living, studying and learning about what I could do for myself to balance my own system so that I wouldn't follow the same path as my mother. And so, again, with my mother, for 35 years, no one asked those questions about what are the underlying causes. And mm-hmm. So that's what we started doing with this new psychiatrist, because initially that's what he did. He did very in-depth. Took a very in-depth history. He found out that she was a twin and that the twins were never separated when they were young. Mind you, that was back in the 1920s and 30s. My mother was born in 1916. So the twins learned to be dependent on each other. They didn't feel whole without the other. And so when one did something, the other one did it to be included. When my aunt got married, my mother had to get married just because she didn't really married make the right choice in who she married, but she felt she had to get married to have. So what we started doing, it took 3 years and we unraveled everything. And she came out of her illness and became a normal functioning human being and a wonderful mother and grandmother for the next 15 and a half years of her life. And so what I'm saying is there's no need for people to even get to the point of even close to where my mother's illness was. But to look at the reality that we live in today's world, especially after COVID, and we look and we, it's like, yes, they talk about we need more attention to mental health, but what kind of attention? It's just like we can't expect that somebody's going to fix us. We have to, yes, if we need to, go to that right physician or practitioner that's going to help us to deal with the emotional trauma that might be underlying many of these problems and deal with the fact that maybe we have nutritional deficiencies, we're not exercising, we have no purpose in life, and try to get us to realize what we need to be whole people and be able to manage our own. It takes a lot of effort, but everyone can be led in that direction and start to realize the benefits that result from it. Because I tell myself, now I'm a 74-year-old woman, and I look back at my life and I feel so much better than I did when I was in my 20s. And that's because of learning what I personally need for myself to be functional and balanced as a human being. And I'm part of the solution.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, part of the solution. And that's because people need to be proactive, do research, do homework, not just believe one doctor, but, you know, go to two or three doctors if it's a serious matter. And also, you know, don't just ingest something that you know nothing about. I mean, if a doctor prescribes a prescription, go home and Google it and see if there's direct adverse side effects that could affect your body, which are worse than the symptom. I mean, if you have a headache, you see these ads because these are all chemicals, and chemicals have direct adverse health effects to many people. And some people don't react and other people drop dead. So when they're injecting things that you know nothing about into your body because they're making money off of it and that's their business, and there's maybe some natural cures or preventatives they don't want you to know about because there's no money in it, people have to think about that, and they do have to be proactive. They do have to do their own homework, their own research, or else suffer the consequences like my dad if I hadn't intervened, or your mother. If you hadn't intervened, she probably wouldn't have lived another 15 years.
No, she would have died in a mental institution, and it probably would have been a long duration that time because she was already 60 years old. But what I'm saying is the information is available. The right practitioners are accessible. Look for a functional doctor or an integrative psychiatrist, which is what they're called now. Make sure that they do in-depth lab studies because the standard lab studies are not going to give you the information you need. You need in-depth lab studies and think of prevention. Nobody wants to get like your father or my mother. You don't need to. But when you start to feel not normal, you know, to start to question that and start to seek out what is my next mode of action for myself. And we're whole beings. We're not just everything's connected. The mind is, and the brain is a very integral organ of the body, and it needs to be fed properly. And if it's not fed properly, And that has to do with a lot of other systems being in balance too, to make sure it is fed properly. But you're not going to be able to get that information unless you go to somebody that, you know, either specializes in that, or you, like you say, do a lot of research and back that up with the right lab studies, and think of it more as getting involved with your own healthcare, because ultimately, and not just for mental illness, but we have so many illnesses, chronic illnesses that are part of our healthcare system now, that many of those can be prevented, many of them. Just with myself, by the time my parents were my age, they were already with blood pressure, arthritis, cholesterol problems, mental illness, all these different things they already had, which I don't now, just because I make an effort. I make an effort. But it's really quite rewarding. It's a wonderful thing to have a little more control over your health and not expect somebody to just fix you.
And that's the problem. They may fix you or they may not fix you, and they may make you worse. So exactly what you said. I mean, I tell everybody, health is wealth. If you have your health, there's some way you can figure out to make some money and do something to survive. But without your health, you have a very difficult time. So, and your lifespan, lifespan and your ability to enjoy life is cut off. So, and diminished. So, I agree with you 100%, and I really appreciate you sharing your story. I'm hopeless, I'm crazy, and your mother's mental illness and how you intervened to help save her and give her a longer, happier life in the end, after suffering in the psychiatric ward and all the serious chemical-laden drugs they injected into her body. And so now that we've come to the end of our wonderful interview with your wonderful encouragement to take care of our own bodies and our own minds, because we are responsible for our own bodies and our own minds, why don't you tell us any message you would like, Linda Rae Anderson, and also where they can purchase your book or contact you?
My main interest is to give people the tools, and know that they can help themselves. They can, this number, if anyone wants to reach me by phone, they can have this number that I'm calling from. My book is available through exlibris.com or Amazon or Barnes and Noble. And I will soon be launching a botanical medicine store online. And I don't have it up and running yet, but it should be up and running within the next 6 months. And I'm just here to help. I'm here to, if I'm not able to help you, I will lead you to somebody that possibly can help you. But I just feel that now more than any time we have a mental health crisis, and whatever I can do to help anyone, I'm willing to do. So I guess the best way to reach me right now is either through my email, which is M as in mom, O-M-M-A, S-A-N, that's mamasan66@gmail.com, or my business phone number, which is 619-478-2900.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Linda Rae Anderson. And I hope everyone will get a copy of I'm Hopeless, I'm Crazy, and begin to learn how to take care of themselves. And the benefits are unbelievable, like extending your life and living a longer, happier life. And I appreciate you sharing that with us. And God bless you and keep up the good work. And we'll talk to you again.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate you having me on.
You're so welcome, Linda.
Thank you so much.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Linda Ray Anderson has left the building once again. I'm Hopeless, I'm Crazy. You can find it on Amazon.com. And she gave you her email and her phone number. So if you want to learn more about how to stay healthy and live a longer life and avoid all those crazy chemical-laden injections and drugs that are being pushed on everyone, which may or may not help, you need to do your own homework, your own research, and get your own two or three recommendations if it's serious from different doctors is probably a good suggestion, a good way to go. So on that note, we're going to end the authors and experts part of our show and enter into the Justice Club after this important message. So don't touch that dial because you need to find out, will humanity survive? And this is a very political political satire, fictional Orwellian story that has an important message for you at the end.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world, written with an Orwellian twist. Will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
The Justice Club is back on Colombo Chronicles Live Podcast. Join Rose Colombo at noon and find out what tips she will provide in a world of little justice.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. We're about to join into the Justice Club with a very dynamic returning guest, and he is a former high school teacher, and he taught U.S. history, which is what we want to talk about, not just the past, but the present. And his name is Bill Bice. Hi, Bill. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Rose. How are you?
Well, it's always good to talk to you and learn a little more about past history and current history, because today's history hasn't gone too well so far, and we want to make sure it gets back on track with people who have information such as yourself. Would you like to tell the audience a little bit about yourself before we get started?
Well, I'm a former school teacher. I've also been involved in other things such as sales and also manufacturing, so I have a varied background. I was also a high school band director for 8 years too, so interacted with a lot of kids and a lot of different levels, and also have some political experience as well, being involved in politics and behind the scenes things such as helping with campaigns and everything too. So a pretty varied background.
Exactly. And that's why I always enjoy having you on Colombo Chronicles Live, because I always learn something from you, and so does the audience. But first, I wanted to mention to our audience, actually, if you are a possible victim of leukemia and lymphoma, you've been linked to Roundup, the pesticide, there is a link you can go to, and you can sign up for possible compensation. So go to myroundupinjury.com, and they'll give you more information there on this serious problem with this pesticide that is linked to these serious, possibly linked to these serious cancerous problems that people are suffering from today. And so, Bill, Russia is coming.
I mean, that's what I saw in the news. Remember,
yes,
in the 60s, it was Russia is coming. So are they coming? What do you think about that, that they've got all these nukes on the trains ready to go? And they said if Biden doesn't stop funding Ukraine, that they may push the button.
Well, as far as pushing the button, Biden is doing is pushing a lot of buttons in a lot of different directions. So we don't know what's going to happen from day to day. And Rose, there is so much disinformation out there. It's unbelievable. We don't know. We really don't know the truth from the lies. I mean, it's just crazy in the world we live in today. I think that Russia is being pushed. I know that, you know, a lot of people think that Putin's a bad guy, but on the other hand, maybe he's not. I know that there's a lot of stuff going on in the Ukraine that a lot of people don't know about, and they are not choir boys either. So there's just a lot of information, and again, a lot of disinformation concerning both sides.
Well, what I read online, Bill, I mean, like you said, is it true? Is it not true? Well, I'm not there, so I don't know. But I read that Zelensky was a dancer and an actor, and that Klaus Schwab, the founder of World Economic Forum, funded and mentored him into that position, along with his members of the WEF, which are mostly billionaires and multimillionaires, and who Klaus Schwab actually said, though, his words are that that's what they do. They mentor and pre-select and pre-elect leaders of Western civilization so that they can penetrate governments, which in other words means control those that they funded into public office and mentored. And one of those mentors, of course, has always been Henry Kissinger as well, because even Sarah Palin had said when she was on stage as a candidate for vice president that she had been mentored by Henry Kissinger, and so did McCain. So all these people are mentoring these wealthy people, leaders like Macron, Merkel, Zelensky, and others into public office, as they stated, to penetrate, which means control governments. So maybe Putin's upset about it. Maybe he doesn't want to be controlled and mentored by these billionaires and have his country taken over by the globalists. That's just my thought.
Well, I have read much of the same things as you have, and I agree with you. People like Kissinger, people like Soros, Klaus Schwab, they are the millionaires or billionaires that control the people that are selected, not elected, run the different countries. And I believe the same thing is true in America. We get to vote for the Republican candidate and the Democrat candidate that are selected by their parties. We don't actually get to vote for a president. We get to vote for the two people that were chosen. And it's most of the time it's not a very good choice. And that's sad, but it's also true.
When I look back, you know, like my mother was very much involved with the Republican Women's Federated Club, and she was a guest at the White House with the Nixons, with other female presidents in these Republican Women's Clubs. And then she was a guest at the Governor's Ball for Reagan. And, you know, when you look at these presidents, the ones who wanted to back our money in gold and wanted to keep America safe and secure and supported the military and the police and the sheriffs and the Border Patrol and ICE and didn't allow foreign enemies into our nation, and they were Republicans, Reagan, and I don't know if Eisenhower was a Republican, but he also was a good guy, warned of the industrial complex like Reagan and President Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy. And look what happened to them. Reagan was almost assassinated.
Yes. Eisenhower was a Republican as well. Of course, John and Bobby Kennedy were on the Democrat side, but I think there was a lot of good that they were both trying to do. And, of course, we know what happened to both John and Bobby. And, of course, Reagan, the other thing, too, 2 months after he was in office, he was shot. And I think that was done to control him as well, because they, at that point, really didn't control him. So the powers that be, it's something in this world, Rose, and we're seeing a lot of that, and a lot of things are coming out that they're at the point now that they really don't care. Who knows? They just do as they please, and it's terrible.
Yeah, and we have so many whistleblowers who have been wiped out and accidented and hung themselves from a doorknob and, you know, decided that they didn't want to live anymore, jumped out of a building. And I mean, these are even people who were chemists who whistleblowed on the chemtrails way back when, I remember in 2009, because I posted their information all over the internet on Facebook and Twitter before Facebook exiled me in 2021 for being a Republican, I guess.
Yeah, they just, they just don't want the truth coming out.
But they can never hide the truth, Bill, because the truth always comes out, right? Eventually.
Right.
It will always come out.
They're trying to squash it as best they can.
Yeah, they do. And that's why they control the media.
Yes.
Don't we have to listen to all these infomercials about the, for example, the 100% what they call vaccines, which are actually unlicensed vaccines. They are experimental and trial injections under an EUA PrEP policy that was to end in 90 days, and it excluded children in the original EUA, but the HHS secretary is divided because all of these people involved in this big pharma investment raking in billions of dollars on becoming very wealthy, like Dr. Fauci and his wife are now $12 million richer since 2021. And Bill Gates said he's looking at $200 billion in profits, and the whole world must be jabbed repeatedly and used as their built-in customer base. So, and they're human lab rats under their microscope as case studies, and ignore all the deaths and injuries that came after January 2021 somehow. And so this whole process of using an EUA PrEP that was rarely ever used. And also, Bill, because I read the original one, it stated that children were excluded, but they used the HHS to include children by keep revising it until they reduced the age of the child down to a baby, I suppose. So this is some of the underhanded things they do to get their way, right or wrong?
That's correct. There is no way that I would recommend the vaccine to my worst enemy. there are evil people in this world that are just beyond the pale. I just can't imagine the amount of evil that is going on today.
Did you know the director of WHO refuses to get the what they call a vaccine, but they're the ones with disinformation. It is an experimental and trial injection, and that's what how they easily trick the people with their infomercials to believe they're all calling it a vaccine. A vaccine is case studied for long periods of time, 5 to 25 years, published in medical journals, and it is an approved licensed injection. It is an improved licensed injection that is now called a licensed vaccine. But in this case, it is an experimental and trial. So you cannot call an experiment and a trial 100% safe and effective. That's ridiculous.
That's correct. I guess that's why we call it the jab.
I call it the jab.
Because it's not a vaccine. And they're,
no.
They're also, and I, and from what I've read, it can change. It has the potential to change our DNA. So it's, like I said,
so
I would not recommend it to anyone.
So people can get injured or die from more than one type of shot in the world. They shouldn't just be disarming guns.
Right. And it depends on if they have, if people get the jab that have a heart condition, they're probably going to die. If they have other conditions, that's another possibility too. So it's terrible. And then we're hearing more and more young people that are teenagers, that are in their early 20s, that are into athletics, that are dying of heart attacks after a workout, and it's just terrible. And then we find out that they did get the jab, and that was probably what took them out. And yet no one is accountable. No one's really looking into it. And of course, the mainstream media just looks the other way because they are controlled.
Maybe they're all invested in getting rich.
Very possible also, especially the ones that are in control of the mainstream media.
Yeah, and so while Bill Gates was online, whether this is disinformation or true, it was online and stated that he bought like $300 million or $500 million worth of airtime back in before they announced the COVID announcement that the world was being locked down, which really shocked me because none of the people that were locking down our country were elected officials. They had no authority to lock us down under the Constitution of the United States of America. No. But look at how people comply out of fear.
That's correct. They do. I still see people, when I go to Walmart, I still see people walking around with a mask on, and I'm wondering why. Or I see a person driving their vehicle by themselves and they're wearing a mask, and I just shake my head. It's there are so many sheep out there that don't question anything, that they look at the politicians as public officials when they are really supposed to be public servants, and we are the ones paying their salaries. Our tax dollars pay their salaries, yet they tell us what to do, and that's not how America was founded.
No, we're supposed to be telling them what we want. They're supposed to be enacting our will, not enacting their will on us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They have sworn to uphold the Constitution, which they do not, and to represent us, which they do not.
Well, I have a new book, Bill, coming out. It's called Is America Under Martial Law? Because people need to start thinking and being very concerned about how are they getting away with all of these unconstitutional mandates.
Yes, and they are unconstitutional. Of course, Congress doesn't follow the Constitution on a daily basis. So, I mean, that's been going on for decades. It's unbelievable.
So what
unbelievable.
Do you think
they
about that as
please.
A history teacher, former history about in your opinion, and I will not interrupt you, it's your time now. I'm very bad about this stuff because it just irks me. Sorry about that. We'll do this again. I'll let you talk more. But now I'm going to give you your time because we only have 5 minutes to talk about what is important to you. And as a former history teacher, how do you feel about what's happening and everything? Tell us.
Well, I believe that I kind of used the quote from Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He said many years ago, of course, he died in 1945, but he said, nothing in politics happens by mistake. It's all planned. And as I've told people jokingly, but I said it's probably the only time in his life that he told the truth. It's true about politics. Everything is planned. And when something happens, when a critical thing happens in the country, they take full advantage of it every time. Just like the what I call the plandemic. It wasn't a pandemic. It was a plandemic. It happened. When it happened in, I believe it was March of 2020, I said baloney on day one. It was, of course, I said other things that I won't repeat here. But anyhow, it was all planned. It was planned to hurt America. It was planned to destroy our economy. It's funny how many mom-and-pop businesses were shut down because they were forced to close their businesses, yet large companies like Walmart were able to stay open, and yet a corner grocery store, mom-and-pop grocery store, had to close. And so the big corporations were able to stay open and make even more money because they didn't have the competition, because the competition had to stay home. And many of these businesses went out of business as a result of that. I mean, if you're out of business for 6 months to a year, if you can't go in to do business, how do you survive? The bills still come in. How can you pay for them? So this was all planned. It was planned to destroy the world's economy. We still haven't recovered from it. Of course, they don't want us to recover from it. And I just firmly, you know, it was, like I said, it was all planned. It was planned to put us under, and I believe to put us under the New World Order, to put us under a one world government. And I believe that's where they want us to head. And most of us that are awake and understand what is going on are definitely opposed to this. And there are many of us. It's just that we don't get the press, but I think I have a lot of friends, and we're all on the same page with this, that we definitely want freedom. That's how America was founded. And I think America is the main thing blocking this. But with our current administration, who was selected, they weren't elected. I believe firmly that Donald Trump won the election of 2020. Joe Biden can't get 1,000 people together if he talks anywhere. So there's no way that he got 80 million votes or anywhere near it. And I've also said that Kamala Harris, just like Barack Obama, is not an American citizen. So how does she qualify to run for office? Her parents never became American citizens. I think after they met at school here, they then moved to Canada and I think became citizens of Canada. I don't know, at least they lived there. But she's not an American citizen. So how can she be vice president? And if Biden has to resign or becomes incapacitated, she could become, she's next in line for president. And she's not.
And that's how they. And that's exactly how they, which I wrote to the U.S. justices, was going to happen if they didn't hear the eligibility lawsuit against Obama's eligibility for U.S. president, and they dismissed that lawsuit. They probably threw my letter in the trash, and I said, Bill, I told them, I said, if you allow this, we're going to have usurpers, foreign spies, foreign enemies, illegals entering into the office of President of the United States. And as they flood our country and overpopulate us with criminals and coming into our nation, Venezuela just released all their felons and sent them over here to enter into the USA. This is how they take over nations, period. I don't care what anybody says. This is how they do it.
That is correct. And Barack Obama was then and is now a citizen of Indonesia. His mother divorced Barack Obama Sr. and remarried when Barack was about 6 years old. She married Lolo Sotoro, a citizen of Indonesia. She had to denounce her U.S. citizenship and to marry him because they don't allow dual citizenship in Indonesia. And he then adopted Barack and changed his name to Barry Sotoro. And whatever citizenship he had, I believe it was Kenya, not America, but he had to denounce whatever citizenship he had to be adopted by Lolo. So Barry Sotoro is actually his name. It's no longer Barack Obama or Barack Hussein Obama, which, and again, he is a citizen of Indonesia because he went to the Madras school in Jakarta, and you have to be a citizen of Indonesia to be able to do that. So we had usurpers there. Congress was definitely looking the other way, and I'm sure they were paid off to look the other way or whoever their handlers were. But I firmly believe, and I've said this before many times on radio, every member of Congress committed treason by allowing Barack Hussein Obama, also Barry Sotoro, to be president of America. And also Barry has a, or Barack has a Connecticut Social Security number from a person who died in 1955. So everything is fake, but the news media and everyone else looks the other way.
Voting.
And right, and I appreciate your radio program allowing me to say things like that because it is the truth. And I try to speak the truth.
And I thank you for speaking the truth because I have the same research from 2008 that I've been doing that is exactly the same as millions of Americans who voted for President Trump, who is a natural-born American. And I thank you so much, Bill Bies, for being my guest today. I got to go. I'm over time. And God bless you and take care. And we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Thank you, Rose. Enjoyed it. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Well, my friends, time flies. And now is the time to say goodbye. Thanks so much for being part of the Colombo Chronicles family. You are appreciated. Please do it now. Bookmark. Push that like, share, and follow button. Oh, and don't forget to comment below and stay in touch. Make your family part of the Colombo family. Until next Wednesday at noon, remember, God loves you, and so does the Rose.